Ramsey TV.
Keeping it short and sweet at the end of the week. This is your friend and mine, Martin Sender. Thanks for being with me here in my car. Used to be in my car in the alley in Fort Lauderdale, but I have moved up. I'm not in the alley, as you know. I'm now in a driveway. Yes, I'm in a driveway. Don't stumble at that. I hope that causes no one to trip like that. I'm becoming corporate. I'm becoming highfalutin. I'm becoming all that because I'm in the driveway. I can see where you would be tempted to think that. I am tempted to think it myself at times, but I can handle it. I can handle this kind of blessing. I can handle this kind of wealth. I do not get dissuaded from the truth just because I've been moved up to a driveway. All right. I still got my head on straight. I still know what's important. And so we are on track here as usual on MZTV. Now I'm going to present what appears to be a contradiction in the scripture. Well, there are no contradictions in the scripture. And one of the main things you can do to keep from believing that, of course, is to realize there are two different evangels in the New Testament, that is the Greek scriptures. The evangel of the uncircumcision and of the circumcision. That's one thing to keep you from thinking that there are contradictions. Another thing is to understand that this is huge. And I've been teaching this for years. I didn't invent it, but I popularized it, you see. I'm like Henry Ford. I didn't invent the car, but I put one in every garage, all right? I didn't invent, of course, the absolute and the relative perspectives, but I've made everyone aware of it. And you can have any color you want, as long as it's black, all right? So could you answer this objection to someone who says the Bible contradicts itself? This is my challenge to you today. I want to know if you're able to answer this. I'm in 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits if they are of God. For many false prophets have come into the world. In this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit which is avowing Jesus Christ having come in flesh is of God, and every spirit which is not avowing Jesus the Lord having come in flesh is not of God. Anyone saying that Jesus Christ the Lord has not come in flesh is not of God. Not of God. Let's go down to verse 6 in the same chapter. We are of God. He who knows God is hearing us. But he who is not of God is not hearing us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. So here we have John saying, anyone not avowing Jesus Christ having come in the flesh is not of God. And anyone who doesn't hear us is not of God. Now, I want to read you a passage from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's quite a short verse, and it's verse 18, and it says, yet all is of God. All is of God. It sure seems like the scriptures contradict themselves. John says two things in one verse, that not all things are of God. People who don't acknowledge Jesus Christ coming in flesh, they're not of God. Those who don't listen to our testimony, they're not of God. Paul says all is of God. Who's right? One other thing that will keep you from, and this is the main lack. This is the main mistake. One other thing that will keep you or anyone from being able to explain these apparent contradictions, which aren't, are understanding laws of language. And it is very helpful to have a version of the scriptures which puts the words that are actually in the Greek, the translated words that are based on words that are in the Greek in dark face type, and then words that are not in the original language that are added to answer English idiom or added for sense in light face type. Therefore, you know which words are filler in order to make a readable sentence and which words are actually actually have a foundation in the original Greek language. I think some versions of the King James, does the King James version even has that, I think. Light face type and dark face type. If you're new to reading the scriptures, you might wonder, well, why is it light face here, dark face here? It's because dark face type are words, English words used in the translation that are directly based on a word in the original language. Light face type is, again, English filler, and they're letting you know this is filler. We had to add these three words to make this a readable sentence in English. Having said that, now, let's go back to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to see something very interesting about what is of God and what is not of God. I love this. I love facts. I love laws of language. I love it that Scripture doesn't contradict itself. In 1 John 4, we have an interesting construction when he says, is not of God. The is in dark face type. Every spirit which is not avowing Jesus the Lord having come in flesh is not of God. The is, the not of God is all dark face type. But look at this interesting construction in Paul, 2 Corinthians 5. He says, all is of God. The is in light face type. The is not there in the Greek. In 1 John, the is there in the Greek. This is objective. This is inarguable. The verb to be, represented here by the word is, that's the verb to be, one form of it, is present in 1 John 5 in the two instances where John says, this is not of God. In Paul, the verb to be, that is not there. So Paul literally would read this way, all of God. 1 John says, this is not of God. Paul, all of God. What's the difference? Who cares? This is the difference. I can't help that the Greeks did this. I can't help it, but this is how it is. And this is also a fact of language. The elimination of the verb to be puts us smack up against an absolute truth. This is an instance of the absolute versus the relative. If it's one thing relating to another thing, the verb to be is in the text because you're relating two things, relating, relative, relate, you're relating it. So as we relate things on earth, there are some things that are of God, some things that are not of God. Relatively speaking, for instance, somebody who commits murder. Well, that's not of God because God would not have us commit murder. It's a godly thing to not kill somebody. It's ungodly. You might as well say if it's not of God, you might as well say ungodly. Ungodly is a form of this is not of God. It's ungodly. It's not godly. Wait a minute, but everything's godly in that God is doing everything absolutely. Well, the absolute truth is, get rid of the is, all of God. In fact, this is true when we see God is spirit. Okay, when you have instances of like God is love, God is kindness, God is patience, God is this, God is that. God is not literally love. God is love. And when you look up the verse, God is love, the is in the text. So it's not literally true that God is love. Love is love, God is God. But when Paul says God is spirit, the is not there. It's like God's spirit. That's what he is in his essence. It's absolute. Relatively, you can say, or in fact, it's a metaphor. God is love. That's a metaphor. The is present in the original text. Because it's separating it, right? The is being present is separating these two things. It's like they're not as close as you think. God is not literally love. We're putting him as love. It's a figure of association, but he's literally spirit. So when we say he's literally spirit, we take out the verb. God's spirit. And it's the same thing here. All of God. That's the absolute truth. They take out the verb. I can't help it. That's the way the Greeks did it. They just did it that way. I'm reporting it to you. It's absolute truth. All of God. But I doubt that your defense will work in a trial when you say, well, I didn't go over the speed limit. It was God went over the speed limit because God is operating in me. Everything's of God. So no, of course you can't do that. Even though it's literally true. Yes, God made you go over the speed limit. Absolutely, that's true. But when we're dealing with each other, when we're relating, that's the key word, that's the root word to relative. When we're relating to each other, we must distinguish these things. And so an ungodly act is an ungodly act, and it's not wrong to say it. But some people, they want to try to live in the absolute and say things like, and in fact, I had a man tell me this. He told me, Martin, nothing's wrong. There's nothing that's wrong in this world. What? Nothing's wrong? What are you talking about? I can name you 100 things that are wrong off the top of my head, just in your house here. But absolutely speaking, he was correct. Everything is right because God intends everything to be working as it is, all of God. But in the relative world where we relate to each other, some things are right, some things are wrong. If your child says to you, is it wrong if I go over to the neighbor's house and shoot their dog? What would that be wrong? Yes, that would be wrong. The kid's defense would be, all is of God. You see, all is of God is a absolute truth. But the problem is some people take this passage from 1 John and they say, see, all is not of God, and they think that's absolute truth. They think that's absolute truth. What? See, it says not all things are of God. And they get to Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and they don't know how to explain it. Well, it says here all is of God. They don't know how to explain it. So they think, some people think both are absolute truth. That's impossible. All is of God. Some things are not of God. They both can't be absolute truth. Absolutely impossible. Relatively impossible as well. No. One is absolute, one is relative. The absolute truth is all of God, of course. All is of God. All of God. All of God. Relatively, when we're speaking among each other, relating things, relating incidents, relating things that are wrong and things that are right, it's right to say, as long as you realize it's a relative perspective, it's right to say that that's not of God. You're going off into this drug world. This is not of God. God doesn't want you to do this. That's another way of saying it. God does not want you to do this. Somebody say, well, God wants us to do everything because God does everything. Shut up. It's true, but you can't relate to other people this way. Otherwise, we would have no laws. You couldn't say anybody was wrong, which is absolutely madness. Absolute madness. You just can't live that way. So as we relate to each other and as we relate events, some things are of God, some things are not of God, but this is a relative statement. And yet the relative is the viewpoint we live in. However, let us not be tricked, like some people are, even people who should be smarter than this, tricked into thinking that some things are not of God, that's absolute. Some things are not of God. Like God did not originate this. God did not cause this. God was not behind this. Then who was? Some accident? Is some accident? Some source of everything other than God? Please, you can't look at 1 John 5 and say, well, this is literal truth. Some things are not of God, because you have 2 Corinthians 5:18 to deal with. So let's handle this intelligently from now on. If you've never heard of this, let's recognize relative truth, but let's not in a million years think that the relative is the absolute, or for that matter, that the absolute is the relative. And some of my relatives don't know this.